This is truth be told.
That not only are there reptilians here,
new evidence of UFO fleets.
We were close to nuclear war.
To help you transform so that you can live your highest truth.
We're not being told just because we're not ready for it.
Geostations of frequency, vibrational.
I was a homicide detective with LAPD.
UFOs increase. Visitations. When you say, let's tap into our subconscious mind, well, many of us walk through life as an unconscious mind, and questions that never seem to get answered about life, about spirit. Well, today, our guest, author Dr. Catherine Shainberg, offers a powerful practice to discover your areas of stuckness and quickly clear them. And with a new year beginning, an old year closing, sometimes we hold on to pain and damage and tragedy. And hopefully through this ancient practice of the Kabbalah might help us move forward and find our purpose. Dr. Shainberg is a internationally renowned transpersonal psychologist and an award-winning author. And I'm excited to have her on the show today. I'm Tony Sweet with Truth Be Told. Please welcome to the Truth Be Told studios for the first time, author, Dr. Catherine Shainberg. Hello, hello.
Thank you. I'm glad to be on with you.
I'm actually very excited to have you here today. And I'm excited because I've never really had anyone on my show before after over 700 episodes of Truth Be Told about any touching into the Kabbalah itself. We've touched on many different religions and spiritualities around the world, but this is one that we've never touched on. So I'm excited to have you here. And I'm just going to dive right in. And before we get into your book, can you even just touch on the Kabbalah or Kabbalah, however you want to pronounce it? I don't know how you pronounce it, but about what that is, where many of my listeners may not know what that is.
Well, there are different ways of talking about it. The Kabbalah itself means to receive. Mm. We receive, of course, from our mentors, our teachers. So we receive teachings. But it also is the deeper meaning, which is I look inside and I receive, or I gaze within and I receive. So Kabbalah itself is a huge, huge world. There have been many, many different masters who have taught Kabbalah in different ways. The one that I'm talking about is the most ancient, which consists simply in looking in, what I call inner gazing. So, but the inner gazing is done with a little bit of a focus. So you may ask me some question, and I gaze in, and the subconscious answers me. Now, this is a little bit of a practice. Some people do it. They've always done it.
Right.
Since they can remember, and others don't think that way. So we really have two brains. We have what we call the conscious brain, which some people call the left brain, but the conscious brain, which is very linear and follows language, or language is developed through the conscious mind. And then we have a different mind, which is experiential, which talks to us in sensations and images. Mm. So the subconscious is this vast river of bits of information. Right? So we are filled with forms that want to speak to us, that are part of our experiencing incarnation, and we have our own knowledge. I call it a dream field, our own dream field, which is from the beginning of incarnation until we die. But we also have ancestral dream fields and familial dream fields, national dream fields. All this is part of a huge, maybe a cauldron of knowledge that is the subconscious. It's a very different kind of way of thinking than let's say the conscious mind. But the two have to work together.
Well, I mean, we've heard, I mean, even since I was a child or a kid, about how the human mind, we only use or think with a certain percentage, which is a very low percentage of our mind and brain.
That's true.
Does the Kabbalah help us tap into a different part or a different, maybe a little higher percentage than what normal brains usually tap into?
Well, I'm going to be really wild and say everything is possible with Kabbalah. That is, any question, if it's really a focus question, mm-hmm. if it's a burning question, and if I bring it in, my conscious mind brings it into my subconscious, is going to find an answer. But an answer that will be in form, if you want, in images, or maybe in a song, or even words, but more poetic, if you want, closer to the flow of possibilities that is a subconscious. Right?
I love that. I love that. And I know, you know, when we think about these ancient religions, you know, like Christianity, we know kind of where that came from, and Judaism, we kind of know where that came from. And Kabbalah is not really considered a religion, but...
No, it's the mystical path of Judaism.
Yeah, yeah.
But the one that what I'm talking to you about is the most ancient path of mystical Judaism, but it can be done by anybody. You don't have to be Jewish.
Right, right.
Because you're just looking in. And I think that all great mystics, all great mystical paths start off with the visualization, if you want, the looking inward. So if you look at Buddhism, for example, you've got Zen Buddhism that's very mental.
Mm-hmm.
Then you're going to have Tibetan Buddhism, which is full of images.
Right.
So you've really got two great roads of inner development. One is through the intellect and passing it out more and more and more to find a universal truth. The other is going through the forest of images until you come to the light.
Well, I'm sorry. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
We're going to come to the same place, but in a completely different way.
And I think that's one of the reasons you started the School of Images, I'm sure. And for our audience, can you explain the school itself and how you designed it and developed it? And then we'll get into, you know, the Kabbalah of Light, which is, I think, is a perfect time of the year to really, I mean...
Indeed,
it's a perfect time, any time of the year, but I think right now with so many people, you know, still struggling with depression and mental illness and just because of loneliness. And I think, you know, something like this might be able to break them through to a different outcome that maybe they're not used to. And I think would be gladly accept the light that comes from within.
So, Tony, where do I start? The school.
Let's start with the school, please.
Okay. Well, I believe that all of the people that work with me, I call them students. And they are students for me. Are you there?
Yo, I'm here. I'm sorry. I'm just putting you on screen. They don't want to see my ugly face. They want to see yours.
But I'm talking to you. So.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, they're all students, but not students of what I have to say, but students of looking inward. And so, for example, I can formulate a burning question, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you have 10, 20 people, 30 people doing it. It takes half a minute. They look inside and each one has a different experience, which is very, very powerful. But it's an experience. It's not a thought. It's an experience. So when you sleep at night, for example, you're doing the same thing. You're turning your eyes inward. And, of course, a dream a night dream is exactly that. I turn inward with a question. Let's say I go to bed, I'm a little agitated about whether you'll like what I'm saying.
Right, right.
So I go to bed and I have a dream in which I get a response to my burning question.
I love that. And I know you even wrote a book about Kabbalah and the power of dreaming, which I think dreams are so powerful if you just pay attention. Yeah.
Well, actually, we use them as a ladder for enlightenment.
Oh, I could see why. And I feel like I just feel from the interviews, I've interviewed people from all different walks of life, and that dreams can answer many of our questions if we just pay attention.
But that's the point. The dreams are the pop-ups, if you want, of the great river of the subconscious. So I ask a question and pop, it pops up
right.
In the form, like a charade, if you want, right?
Oh, that's a good way to put it. I like charades, so. Well, let's go ahead and touch on the latest book. And I'm going to put it up on screen, The Kabbalah of Light, Ancient Practices to Ignite the Imagination and Illuminate the Soul, which I love the title. And can you explain the book itself and the process of putting that together?
Well, it's years and years of work. Basically, the first part of the... Let's put it this way. It's a story about the subconscious, how we access the subconscious. It's called in the ancient myth the Leviathan, or the great beast of the deep. And if I don't know anything about myself and you tell me something I don't like, I might explode into anger and tears and upset and emotions. That's the beast rising up.
Right.
Right. Ultimately, the work is to learn how to tame the Leviathan, or to tame the subconscious is the same thing, right? And the way we do that, you can start, let's say, with a night dream, and the night dream is, let's say, somebody's knocked on the door and is trying to get into my apartment. It feels like a nightmare and I'm terrified.
Right.
For us, we don't get up and say, okay, it was just a dream. But it's very important to hear the knock on the door. So I would go back into the dream. We call this tikkun, or responding to the necessity of the dream, what the dream is calling us to do. The dream is calling me to find out who's knocking on the door. So then I would, let's say, wrap myself in light, go back into the dream, close my eyes, go back into the subconscious, and gingerly open a little bit the door to find out who's out there. And that starts the process of correction, if you want, beginning to clear the subconscious. We can think of the subconscious as a great, great ocean, and it is indeed a great ocean. We're made of so much water also, and on the surface of it is the garbage. And so there's a lot of garbage that needs to be cleared up so that we can return to clear waters and look inside, and the inside will show us what our soul is all about. So it's a slow process of growing with the in the dialogue with the images that come from the subconscious.
And I think you did say something that it's a slow process, because sometimes people, when they explain it, it seems like it's just so easy. You know, it's like, oh, just go back to sleep and open that door. A lot of people don't have the ability to do that. You know, from having a nightmare is what we call a nightmare. It could be the answer to many of the issues that you're going through depression or whatever you are, you know, a loss of a family member. But how do you start that process? I know you have like 159 short exercises to start working through the practice, but how does one start to become become comfortable enough to go to that place to start opening that door?
Well, it is a practice. But definitely, I start with the dreams because everybody dreams and people are not so afraid of saying they've had a dream. Mm-hmm. They will be afraid of saying, I had a vision and I saw the Archangel Michael.
Right, right.
From heaven with a great sword, right?
Right.
So that's difficult for people to admit at the dinner table. But we have a lot of visions. Mm-hmm. That is the subconscious popping up and trying to say something to us. So, you know, there are two processes. I work with the night dream. I'll say to a student, bring me a dream. Hmm. And they bring me a dream the next time. And the dream is always showing exactly where they are just now. So we're really following what the inside is trying to tell us and dealing with it, responding to its necessity. It's like entering into a house that you haven't been into for a long time and it needs a little bit of cleaning and dusting and care. And so we clean and dust and care for it. And suddenly it's no longer a house, it's a palace. Mm. And maybe there's a bookcase there and I find an incredible book that teaches me something very deep. I'm beginning to climb up what I call the ladder of dreaming. Now, we can do it another way, which is, I have 150 exercises in the book, that's true, but I have thousands, and I write them all the time, to take people for an aerobics of exercises, to tap into the subconscious. So let's say that my subject matter is relationships, mm-hmm. or manifestation, and people have a lot of trouble manifesting or being afraid about money and so forth. So we do series of exercises that start opening up the subconscious to whatever problems there are around the issue of relationship for them or manifestation. And then as you clear it up in and by responding to the images that come up from the subconscious, you're going to see your life changes instantly.
Hmm.
It cannot be changed through the mind, but the mind can do the work of looking in and tapping into the subconscious. It changes when we experience something other. That's when our world changes. That's when our life changes. So we need to be able to return to the experiencing, which is, as I said, the subconscious. So I work with those images and we do classes that I call aerobics of the soul. It's like a yoga class, except it's imagery. And we do a lot of exercises. By the end of the year, their whole life view has changed, or by the end of even an hour of doing that. Or sometimes it's one exercise that changes their life.
I remember one time I had a past life regression. And one thing that I realized, and what you're kind of describing is, you know, I'm not trying to make it a negative, but like, these murder mysteries, these where they have to look for clues.
Right.
Because in most dreams, we mostly focus on the monster chasing us. But sometimes there's always clues that are still in the dream, like a table with a book on it. I mean, we just don't pay attention to that because of the big monster chasing us. But I remember in a past life regression, when she was walking me through it, she purposely asked me to notice every little detail around, you know, what's on the table, what's in the bedroom, is that something kind of like what you're talking about, is noticing all the visions of the dream, then not just focusing on one specific thing, because you're missing out on a lot of different potential answers or the purpose of the dream itself.
You may actually miss opportunities.
Right.
So let's say you're seeing a big sculpture on the left and there are flowers in front of it and candles. And mm-hmm. So maybe this is your ego. And the door on the right.
Right.
So after asking these questions, what is the statue made of? Or what is it standing on what's around. Others are door on the right. So close your eyes and open the door. And suddenly something entirely new occurs, which takes us away from the, you know, the idol, the statue with the flowers and the candles, right? And then suddenly I enter into an entirely different world.
Yeah.
That can be a pool of luminosity that that moves me into doing something different. So it that's why I'm saying it's a ladder of dreaming. We move through the dreams. The dreams have necessities until we come to what I call the great dream. So a nightmare has a necessity. I need to respond to the nightmare. Right. The repetitive dream is, well, it's been repeating itself for quite some time. It's your patterns that keep on repeating and saying, you're not happy with this, but I'm repeating it until you hear me.
Right.
So we need to respond to it as quickly as possible. And you do it so simply by going back into the image. And let's say you have a chair in the dream and one of the legs is broken. So you go back into the dream, repair the leg. Then you can sit on the chair. So things change. And so we go through the nightmare, the repetitive dream, the busy dream. But ultimately, most people have what we call a clear dream, which is a dream that is leading us back towards our true alignment, our truth, our inner center and our core. So, and it's indicating the way. What is so beautiful about this work, which is the Kabbalah of Light, is that you there's no willfulness. You just respond. It's a dialogue, if you want. You're not forcing. You're not saying to a person, do this, see that. You're not doing that, right? And the person is simply describing. And your the voice of, let's say my voice, will be there asking those questions. Well, what do you see to the right? What do you see to the left? What do you feel when you see that? What's the color? So it focuses us more clearly on the subconscious. The clear dream is the dreaming that is bringing us back to the light. If you look at the you know, the nightmare, it's generally in the dark colors. The dark blacks or reds or fluorescent greens, acid greens, right? And as you go up the ladder, the colors begin to be more and more clarified. So a repetitive dream could be in the muddy colors, but a clear dream begins to be more natural. And so, okay, I can deal with this natural world. I'm used to it. When I get to the great dream, it's intense, gem-like colors. And maybe, maybe I'll get to the dream of light. So it's a process of growing this, returning back to the light. We are actually made of starlight.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. In fact, I'm going to ask a question from the chat room that Sherry was saying that does Dr. Schoenberg explore her own past lives? And if you have, what is your technique for doing so? Have you ever, do you believe in past life and have you explored it?
I have explored it at length, but not in the way that most people do it. Because I don't encourage going back into past lives, but if it happens, then it happens. So then we explore it. And so, especially in healing traumas.
Right.
Because we have patterns that repeat over generations. You'll see your great, 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 great grandmother did this, and then the next grandmother, and the next one, and then your mother, and then you're finding yourself doing it too, maybe at the same date. So then, yeah, we would go back into the past life or into a return to the origins of this pattern formation. And and deal with the cause of it, if you want, repair it, through again, through the imagination. Hmm. Now, if it's simply to explore a past life from curiosity, I don't think that that's what comes to us. What comes to us are the past lives that are that need healing, that are repeating themselves today in one way or another. I would not go to somebody who would tell me what my past life is.
Yeah, I wouldn't either. Yeah, no, I would want to find that out for myself. And one thing that Sherry said, that it says Kabbalah is for everyone to learn. It is very complicated. I don't know if it's complicated, intense journey. Why is it so, if that's true, why is it so complicated when it could help so millions of people? Why shouldn't it be a little more easier or more accessible?
Well, there are many, many different kinds of Kabbalah. The one that I'm talking to you about is the most ancient, which is the people, our ancestors were walking in the desert and there was nothing to attach one's eyes to.
Right,
they were
right.
In the desert, and they started to not hallucinate, but a little bit. And maybe the questions were, why is the moon there and why is the sun and why? So these questions would start to percolate, and because there was nothing to attach the conscious mind, then the subconscious started to flow. And so the ancient Kabbalah is very simple. And again, all mystical paths have a Kabbalah.
Mm.
In fact, you have a Christian Kabbalah on the back. That's a simple one. After that, many masters took up different forms. For example, you have Abu Lafia. And Abu Lafia was a Spanish master, 14th century. And he liked the letters. The letters are very powerful archetypal powers. So let's say the Bet, which is the first letter in the Bible, looks like it's like a house. Hmm. It's like a womb. It opens a space, but it has an opening. We can go in and out of that space, right? So he would take the names, there are many names of God, 72 names of God. But he would take one name and start to move the letters around them very, very fast. So it wasn't aerobics, if you want.
Right.
Complicated. A little too intellectual for my taste.
Right. For my ADD, it probably wouldn't do well, so.
Maybe it would cure your ADD.
Maybe. You know, and also I've talked to many people also. I remember when my mother passed away, and I had fallen asleep, and my spouse woke me up and said, "Are you okay?" And I was like, "Yeah, why?" And it was like, "Well, you were talking to your mother. Do you feel like Kabbalah, going into dreams, and also tapping into that deeper ancient practice can tap into more of another dimension, or is it more just into the subconscious itself?"
Well, but the subconscious is another dimension.
True, that's true.
It's the energetic patterns. So we're looking at it before manifestation, if you will.
Mm.
And I think that when we die, we lose our bodies, so we go into right. that more energetic patterning. The Kabbalah talks about four worlds: the Big Bang,
mm-hmm.
then creation, that is the basic archetypal creation, up, down, left, right, forward, back, hot, cold. Those would be archetypal
right.
Movements, the elements, the four elements. And then what they call Yetzirah, which is the world of the energetic patterns, which is the dreaming or the forming. So it's beginning to form. That's where it is easy to change things. Once it gets to manifestation, we have to go to the surgeon, take a date and get cut up. But in the dreaming, you can actually repair it very simply and quickly.
What did these books mean to you when it comes to your own? I know you want to teach and help people, but what did these books, kind of like a therapist, sometimes they become a therapist to not only help other people, but to still continue to, you know, guide themselves. Are these books kind of a release for you to help you in your own journey?
I write them because they have to be written, and I write them for my students. And I write them because they just come through me.
Oh, wow. That's good. Yeah.
I don't actually have a plan when I write them. I don't sell my books. I write a book and then I give it to my agent, who's a dear friend, and I say, here's a book, do it with what you can. That's how it works, right?
So most everything in this book you've learned through years of teaching, and I think you said you come from a line of people that have been. Do you consider yourself healers, or do you consider yourself not necessarily prophets? But how did you learn this teaching? Besides, just was it taught through your family?
I am the lineage holder of a very ancient lineage, Kabbalistic lineage.
Oh wow,
familial, the roots of which are 800 years old. So for 800 years, through a particular family, this has been taught. So I was taught that. I wasn't direct blood, but it turns out in a very strange way that my mother's family was totally connected to that lineage.
Oh, great.
So although she didn't know that, it was revealed as years went by. And I talk about it in the book because it's so strange an event. But I was immediately recognized by my teacher when I met her. Then she adopted me as a spiritual daughter. And so I spent many years with her, every day, actually, for many years. And at the same time, I was already teaching, because this is something I had done since I was a tiny child.
Really?
Working with images and to help people.
Is there of the images that we see, like in astrology, you know, you have the Sagittarius and you have all the different zodiac signs, and then in numerology you have numbers, and when it comes to Kabbalah, is there like an image that is more powerful, that if you see it or seek it, that is more powerful in your journey?
In my journey?
Anybody's journey, but maybe one that you saw in your life that you felt the most powerful in helping you in your wisdom.
Always light.
Just light.
Yes. I mean, you know, in the Bible it says God hovers over the darkness, and we hover over our own inner darkness, because when you look inside, there's no light. And yet, the moment you look inside, there's technicolor. It's right. Light. Right. And more than that, there's a light that orders itself and answers in a perfectly complete way. So if you look at the biblical story, God hovers over the darkness, the waters of the chaos, and there was light. And then order appears. And so the world is created out of this movement of looking in and creating. So we do the same. We're actually co-creators. And if we don't do that, then we get off kilter, if you will. So I believe strongly that the tool for today is really learning to do this, to return to what William Blake called the true imagination, the power to co-create our world. So let's say I believe, because my grandmother, my great-grandmother, and so forth were were impoverished people with difficulties, so I carry this burden. Let's say that I start clearing this by asking my subconscious, clearing it again and again, and now I have a whole new vision. And I'm creating a new vision for myself through the images. I'm no longer a poor person. I wear nice clothes. I'm in a palace. I'm climbing up stairs that are stairs of light and so forth. And lo and behold, it's very strange. It's so simple. And yet the world outside seems to adapt immediately to the change and shifts in the images.
The other day, we had a Native American tribal member, and he was not necessarily a medicine man, but actually he was a medicine man, but he was talking about, you know, the path of the world, the way it's going, you know, the seven fires and the road to where, you know, the earth in destruction. Like they said, the earth will survive, but humans could not survive. And if it is, you know, but he said the biggest thing for, and it sounds like what you're talking about through like the book Kabbalah of Light, is no matter if the world falls apart, if you prepare yourself through the light and through, you know, treating the earth or treating others with the love of the light, it doesn't matter how the world becomes, because we're creating a better world just by creating a better us. Is that kind of what you're talking?
I would say much more than that. If I'm looking inside at my own nature and I'm clearing, let's say, the nature inside of me, I am actually clearing the outside world.
Yeah, yeah.
The worlds are the same. And I think the American Indians knew that very, very well. That's why they had so much respect for trees and bushes,
yes,
and animals and rivers and plants, and we need to have that, to regain that, because that's our access to repairing the world. I don't think we're separate at all, but we need to return to our original work, which is to be the caretakers.
Well, let me ask you this before we get out of here. I'm going to put the book up there for the people that are seeing this live. The Kabbalah of Light, Ancient Practices to Ignite the Imagination and Illuminate the Soul. A lot of people may not say, okay, you know, I don't really want to read the book, or, oh, I don't know about Kabbalah. But what about some practices, that one or two practices that they can actually take with them and say, listen, you don't have to read my book. You don't have to, you know, become, you know, Kabbalah or Christianity or whatever. But this practice alone could start you on a different journey that could change your life. What is one practice that they could do at home without even looking at the book?
Without even picking up the book?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we could think of two different ways of going at it. We could fill ourselves with light, mm-hmm. and we could do that if you want. And that's what I call a formal exercise. You do that every morning, and you'll see your health, your energy, your blood will become more energetic, right?
Right.
And then there's the other way, which is I'm jolting my subconscious to answer my questions. And I call that sapphire imagery. And these little jolts will totally orient us to another part of ourselves that we don't know. So, for example, I could say to your listeners, close your eyes, breathe out slowly three times, counting from three to one. Put out your hand and imagine that somebody has put a key in your hand. Well, what does the key look like? So, Tony, since you're doing it, what does your key look like?
I imagined a gold key and only just a few little jagged edges, you know. So, but it's mostly a gold key for me.
Is it big? Is it small?
It's, I would say, more medium, regular-like. like a regular size.
So then, good. So holding the key, look around and find the lock to which the key belongs. And it could be a box, it could be a door, it could be a window, it could be whatever.
Yeah.
You tell.
I see a box. I see a box on a table.
What's the box look like?
It's a. It looks like a kind of a cedar, reddish wood. So I'm assuming cedar. It's sitting on a kind of in a darker corner of a room.
To the left, to the right?
To the left of me.
To the left. Are you ready? Would you like to put the key in the lock?
I'm a curious person, so yes.
So put the key in the lock and turn the key and open the box.
I'm opening it now, and I see it. It almost looks like a how do you say it? Almost like a ghost like that come out, like a light, but yet a little foggy.
Okay, is it in the form of a human being?
Not,
or is
no.
Just a fog.
Just more of a fog.
Okay, so when you look at this fog, what do you feel?
Actually, excitement.
Okay. So where's it going, this fog?
It's just hovering above me.
Okay. Can you look up at it?
Yes. And I do see a face.
And what kind of a face is it?
It looks like a probably I'd say 40-ish woman, 40-some-year-old woman.
And the expression of this face?
A smile, just a smile.
So what do you feel when you see this face smiling at you?
Connection. Yes. Happiness, yeah.
Good. Okay. Is there anything else you want to do or ask of this face, this being?
Actually, no. Just more of an, I want to embrace it. Just an embrace.
And when you embrace it, what happens?
Like it feels like I'm in another dimension, like my worldly worries are gone.
Isn't that wonderful?
Right?
I can like that.
Yes. Oh, that's beautiful. In the chat room were doing it with us.
Of course. I hope so.
Yeah.
Have any questions?
If people want to ask a question in the chat room, please ask. But one said an old skeleton key is what they saw.
Okay. And what did they do with the key?
Yeah. So tell us what you envisioned. What did you open up in the chat room? What did you see? What did you feel? And we'll just wait and see. Here we go. So my key went to a door. I walked up, opened it. It was a gorgeous green forest, and there was a path to the and off to the right.
Wonderful. So path is opening up into the future. Maybe the door was closed before that. Now, is it a dark forest or a light forest?
It just says a gorgeous green forest. So
it must be luscious.
Yeah, it must be. Pretty full, and says in front of me, I walked into the forest.
Good. Well, you know, in all fairy tales, we walk into a forest
and find your prince or princess.
Well, we find what we need to find,
right?
Then we come back, right, having found it. So this is what the journey is. We need to find something in ourselves that we have lost and bring it back to our everyday life. So many of the fairy tales are like that, you know. So she goes into the forest and she finds a little cabin and she goes in and there are three chairs and three bowls.
Bowls of porridge.
Yeah. Filled with porridge.
Now, I know your website, schoolofimages.com.
It's actually .org.
Oh, .org? Okay, we'll fix
that. Schoolofimages.org.
All right, we'll fix that. But
yeah.
So go to schoolofimages.org, but how can people, I know it sounds like you said you had students, so not only you've written these books, and do you have a school, or do you teach classes that people can come and be a part of?
Yeah, I have actually eight schools in the world.
Wow.
Centers in the world, yeah. And so I have a big school in China, for example, in Japan, in Australia, in different parts of the world. We have centers that are mostly online, of course, but so yes, it's a school. It has a curriculum. Hmm. There are really three pillars to the work. The first one is the dream opening. That's one of the pillars, to enter your dream, to respond to its necessity, to what it beckons you to do, to open it also like you would open a letter and try to understand it. There's a particular way of doing that is very enriching that we do in a group. And then there's what I call the aerobics of the soul. So the imagery is another pillar of the work. And these are classes that we do in together in a group, where we do a number of images of the exercises, let's say 15 during the class.
Mm.
And people report back like you reported on your key. But there's a particular theme to each of these classes. So it opens up and allows you a greater exploration of your inner truth. There's another work which is about form and myth and form. So form, we are informed, but our bodies are also informed. So it's an old Kabbalistic way to be able to look at the forms that we've taken as we were born, but also as we grow into experience and see where it's led us. We can also change that if need be. So it's called morphology. And that's another pillar of the work. And then, of course, there are a number of trainees, many trainees at this point. So they have a bigger curriculum than people who just want a personal exploration. But it is a practice, whether it is that you want to become a practitioner or a teacher, mm-hmm. or simply do it for your own sake. It's a practice of inner development that leads to transformation of your physical body into light.
I'm a former All-American track person, and it's the same thing. You have to practice to become great. And I hear what you're saying when it comes to this. You know, I think we've been programmed for so many thousands of years what to think and how to feel, and through religion, through parents, through grandparents, to, like you said, just passing down, you know, trauma from our ancestors, I think that's probably what makes it harder to break into our subconscious. But it's nice to have somebody like yourself that's put practices down on paper so we can create something better for ourselves and therefore our planet. So
we can definitely heal our traumas.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it is not as difficult as people say. And in fact, it can be quite enlightening and fun.
That's always got me. If it's fun, I'll do it.
You'll be ready to do it.
Yes, yes.
So, yeah, well, you open the box and you had an experience of merging with some part of yourself that was very pleasant, right?
It was pleasant, yeah.
So there it is. It's growing your consciousness. I believe consciousness is the greatest force in the universe.
Oh, well, I thank you for being here. I thank you for writing your books. I'm going to show the book again for the people on YouTube, for the people that are listening to the podcast itself. The title of the book is The Kabbalah of Light, Ancient Practices to Ignite the Imagination and Illuminate the Soul. And I thank you so much. And go to schoolofimages.org.
The schoolofimages.org.
The school. And Yeah, we'll put that in the YouTube and in the description for the podcast so you can find the correct site. And please, please, please pick up the book. And if you have any questions, I'm sure somebody at the school that can hopefully answer and help you get on a journey.
Yes.
And have fun. And have fun. And for everybody out there, please, coming up in April, actually March 31st and April 1st, 2023, I am actually putting on a festival in Santa Clarita, California. It's a paranormal festival. It's going to be all paranormal, and it's going to be spirituality. And in fact, this topic today should be part of it just because, you know, it's... we're tapping into many things that are of the unknown and also breaking into our, I say breaking in, but it's tapping into our subconscious mind and hopefully bringing a whole new answers to questions that have been going on for thousands of years. So, but please go to parapodfestival.com and check it out. But Dr. Shane Berg, thank you so much. Please come back and we can talk more. And I'm sure there's many more books in you.
At least 10.
All right, everybody. Thank you so much for tuning in. And please, we'll see you next Friday right here on Truth Be Told. Take care. Bye.
This has been another episode of Truth Be Told. Thank you so much for watching. Recorded live at UBNGO Studios in Burbank, California. Join us on social media. Facebook, Truth Be Told Radio. Instagram, Truth Be Told Paranormal. Go to Truth Be Told Worldwide for more information on upcoming shows.